Here's one of my favorite stories. It's a story that really changed my life. And you may have heard it before, but if you haven't heard it before, then this is particularly for you. Long ago, when Ann and I only had two children, Mark and Robin, very young, and we lived in Golly Bridge, West Virginia, and I was a meat cutter for Kroger's. And one day, a little brown dog came to our door there in Golly Bridge. And my wife let that dog in as a stray dog, little brown, cute little dog, a mixed breed, of course. And since my wife accustomed to taking strays in, like myself, she took that dog in and fed it and watered it and let it stay overnight. And that dog became a part of our family. And my two kids, they just loved her. We named her Cricket because she was so small. And so that was, Cricket adopted us as her family. But we had a problem because Cricket would have litter after litter of puppies. And no sooner than we'd give away one litter of puppies, and by the way, no matter how cute they are, you can only give away so many, she'd have another litter of puppies. So being the big master that I was, the head macho of the house, I decided that Cricket had to go. And the rest of the family didn't agree with that. But at any rate, my day off, we decided to go visit my mother, who lived 10 miles away across the mountain range. And so we loaded up our car, and the little Cricket, he jumped in the car that morning, thrilled to go on a trip with us. And so we reached the top of Golly Mountain, and you could see New River curving around in the valley below about a mile and a half. And I took a little Cricket, I stopped at a wide place in the road, and I took that little dog and left her right there beside of the road and drove away. And my two kids and my wife, they watched that little dog as we drove out of sight. And so we spent the day at my mother, and then we were making our way back home, and it was just getting dark, and we came to that same place where we had left Cricket. And one of the kids says, "Look, there is Cricket. And here it's getting dark. And that dog is just sitting there waiting, watching the cars come and go. Been there all day waiting on us to come back, all trusting and believing that we could never abandon her, betray her trust in us." And so I turned that car around, went back to that wide spot in the road, and that little dog jumped over me and over the seat, kissing and licking all of us. And we kept that dog until she died. We were overjoyed. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen, I had a deep sense of shame. I had betrayed the trust of a little dog that utterly and completely trusted me. Sat there all that time, all day, knowing that we would come back. And in my heart, I made a vow before God that day that that would never, ever happen again in my life. And it hasn't happened. I'm a sucker for dogs now, but it has never happened in my life, because I can tell you, when you betray the trust of someone or something, that their livelihood, their happiness, their well-being depends on your keeping trust, it is a shameful thing. Now, I didn't have to teach Cricket to trust. She never stopped trusting. I was the guy that had the problem in my heart that had to repent for breaking that trust in that little animal. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are people around us all the time that are trusting us, that love us, that believe in us. And their well-being many times depends on us. There are people in this church that are trusting you and trusting me. And the way trust goes, if trust goes well, then things are going to go well. But you take trust out of the equation, and life virtually comes to a stop. Take it out of a marriage, and that will cripple that marriage unless that trust is mended. When trust stops, love stops. When trust stops, hope stops. It's the very essence of life itself, to live in trust. And it's the greatest feeling in the world to know that someone trusts you and that you are worthy of that trust. And life is about learning who you can put your trust in and learning who you cannot put your trust in. Trust gives us strength to go on in life, not to give up in life. Trust is a bridge where God's power comes to us. As long as we never stop trusting, God will never abandon us. Even when we break trust, He will come and forgive us. But in that trust that we have in God, He will come to us and He will heal us and He will forgive us for those trusts that we have broken. You know, have you watched on television the dating services like eHarmony.com where they take a profile of you, talking about profiling. They take a profile of you and they take what you like and dislike and how tall and your work and all that kind of stuff, information, and they exchange it with other people and try to match you up with someone. And finally, you watch them, they meet in a public place after all the stats are right. And they come together, and it's arranged. So here's this woman waiting on this man that she's never met. She's seen a picture of him, and he of her, and knew some biographical information. But he comes, and he sits down, and they greet each other, and they start getting acquainted. And he may be attracted to her, and she to him. But you know, underneath that, the question that they're asking, can I trust this person? That's the question. Because if you can't trust, it doesn't have a future. Can I trust him? And everyone that, when I have gone to a new church, it's always a challenge that first Sunday. Believe me. You try to do your best to be ready for that first Sunday because you know the first impressions people have, if it's a bad one, it takes you a long time to recover that. But when a new pastor comes, the people say, well, that's a good sermon. You know, it seems like he's a reasonably good person. But what they really are asking is, can I trust this pastor? Can I trust him? And you know something, if you're successful in getting people to trust you and be worthy of that trust, at least to a high degree, that church is going to grow because that pastor is going to trust you. He's going to believe in you. And when we trust people, we bring out the best in them. That's what life is about. That's how we go on. That's how we move. That's how God comes to us. And I've done my share of counseling in my time. And I have met about every problem a human being can have. But when that counselee comes into your office and you begin to get acquainted with them, guess what they are asking in their hearts? Can I trust this counselor? Can I really open my heart to him? Can I tell him about my shame, my brokenness? Can I tell him about my lost dreams? Can I trust him enough to do that? And counseling does not happen until they feel like, yes, I can trust. The sad truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that sometimes we put our ultimate trust in things that are not trustworthy, that will let us down. And life is about learning what and who we can trust and being worthy of trust ourselves. Everywhere in the Bible, God is inviting us to trust him, to be the ultimate trust of our life. Get that right. We can deal with the other opportunities and brokenness of other trust. But God is saying, you can trust me. He sent his son Jesus Christ to live, die, be resurrected. And in that life, God is saying, you can trust me. And Jesus is saying, you can trust the Father that I trust. And God says, even if you break the trust that people have in you, I will come and I will heal you. And I'll give you a new start and you can build and mend a trust that you have broken. And God says, I'll teach you to be strong enough that you can risk trusting people and believing in them, even if they fail you. Now, the interesting thing about our Lord Jesus Christ is this one dynamic, and it's true of every great hero of the faith, including Chuck Colson. The key to their greatness is the fact that never, ever do they cease to trust. There may be times when you doubt some, but underneath it all, you still have that basic trust, your ultimate trust in our Lord and in the Father that he reveals to us. But take Jesus Christ. You could mock him, you could crucify him, you could whip him, you never stop trusting. You could betray him, you could arrest him and treat him unfairly. You could hang him on a cross and you could hear him call, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" But he never stopped trusting. You could put him in a dark Gethsemane and you hear him beg, "God, let this cup pass from me." But he never stopped trusting, "Thy will be done." And his last dying words that Leroy read to you this morning when he was on that cross, the last thing he prayed was a little Hebrew prayer that all little Hebrew children prayed when they went to bed of a nighttime. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he died. But that was an utter and complete trust in the Heavenly Father. He never stopped trusting. And think of David in the Old Testament. The greatness of David is simply this. He never stopped trusting God. Never. Even when he failed, he knew that God would forgive him. He trusted God. And in the 55th Psalm, which is one of my favorite Psalms, here is David. He's king now. And by the way, the greatest king that Israel ever had. And Solomon, they would come from all over the world to see the greatness of Solomon. But Solomon, in comparison to David, was a pygmy. But here is David at a time in his life when there's insurrection and people are trying to throw him off of the throne. And some of his, even his staff, his generals, they abandoned him. There was a great insurrection, chaos in the streets. And David here is taking his case to God. And he's trembling. He's in fear. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But he had a friend. He had a friend. And in that psalm, he addresses directly that friend. And he says, "You know something? All the enemies I have right now, I could withstand all of that. But you, my friend, you have betrayed me. We took sweet communion together. We walked to the temple together. We prayed together. You were the same status that I was. And I believed in you and I trusted you. But you have betrayed me." He broke that trust. But here's what David did and what we must do. That trust may have been broken, but his trust in God was not broken. And he ends up by saying, "Cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you." And that whole psalm ends with him simply saying, "But as for me, I will trust the Lord." His secret of greatness, and must be our secret of grace, is that we never, ever stop trusting. And I think in the Old Testament, if you read that gallery of heroes of Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah, what is it? They never stopped trusting God, ever. Jeremiah, for example, in the 17th chapter of that book, this great prophet who kept warning Israel, your corruption, you're going to be overtaken, you're going to be enslaved. He did that for some 30 years. And the Bible says no one listened to him. But he kept on trusting God, kept on prophesying. But he said in the 17th chapter, verse 7, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Because he'll be like a tree that spreads his roots beside the water. He will not fear the drought. He will not be anxious. He will not worry. And he will continue to bear fruit even in the worst of times." Why? Because Jeremiah said, "If that man trusts in the Lord, blessed is that man." That's the key to greatness, our trust in the Lord. Now about old Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 16, there's a whole litany of persecution that he had undergone. Beaten 39 with 39 stripes 5 times. Think about those lashes across your back. In and out of prisons his whole life. He was stoned 3 times, shipwrecked 3 times. He said, always in danger. And finally, he had this thorn in the flesh that he prayed and prayed and prayed, but it wouldn't go away. But here is the ultimate reality. He never, ever stopped trusting God. And that is why he is honored as a saint. It accounts for his greatness. And we may never be an Apostle Paul, but ladies and gentlemen, the important thing is just to keep trusting God, because he is worthy of our trust. And if we get that right, then we have strength to reach out and trust people sometimes with hesitation, because we know if that trust is broken, that God will sustain us, and on our trust to him, he will heal us of those broken times in our lives. Our last hymn this morning is deliberately chosen, "'Tis So Sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord, I am so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me and will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him and how I've proved him over and over. That's kind of the story of my life. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more. Let's stand and sing that great hymn of trust.